Thank you. You be seated. Somebody just turned on the television and they said, what have I got on this broadcast today? Amen. Thank you, choir. Love you. Hey, you love that choir? Give them a good hand. Let them know you appreciate them. Yeah. Yeah, I like that hey part. I think that might work into preaching sometimes. Somebody like it just hey. Yeah, I like it. Well, you know, that's Revelation 19, and it's the shout of hallelujah is there. It's only found five times in Revelation 19, but they said it about 5,000, so that's good. But amen. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the King. Glad you're here. Hey, if you want some more great music, be here next Sunday night. The young people, children, going to do a musical here, and you'll be blessed by that. They were supposed to do it tonight, but today's Caitlin's birthday, so they put it off 1 week, and they're going to wait till next week. I was giving her a hard time this morning. But next Sunday night, is it 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, we'll have a shouting time right here at Olive Baptist Church. So you join us, and those young people will bless your soul. Romans 14. I'm going to read the entire chapter and look at a message I've entitled Judgments. Judgments with an S. Not just judgment, plural judgments that we find here in the Word of God. You follow along as I read Romans 14, beginning in verse 1, because this now is the word of our great God. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he'll stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the living and of the dead. But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your neighbor is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. You're reading Matthew, I trust, as we walk through the King's voice. When you get over to the seventh day of the month here this week, you'll come to what some people call the most popular verse in all the Bible. Matthew 7, verse 1, it may be the most quoted verse in all of the Word of God. Judge not, lest you be judged. For the way that you judge, you will be judged. Well, this whole passage is about judgment. Paul's talking about our relationships together in God. Life and eternity is filled, hear me, your life is filled with judgments. You must decide, you must make judgment after judgment after, you made a judgment this morning, where are you going to come to church or not? You make a judgment of who you're going to sit with. You make these choices, and then you make judgments about various things. And some things you don't do because you see those things as wrong. Some things you do because you see them as right. Now, this text is about being judgmental. And that word judgmental means to push down or crush someone. And there is no place in the church of the living God for a judgmental spirit, for that critical kind of spirit. Oh, we have things we'll live or die for. When it comes to the cross, there's only one way to go to heaven. It's Christ and Christ alone. We live and die right there. When it comes to the resurrection, if Jesus did not die, we're all lost. So we make a judgment. But for the man that says, no, I don't believe that, while I disagree, I don't have a judgmental spirit and a crushing toward him. But I make judgments all the time. And this passage is filled with judgments, and I want us to look in it for a few minutes today. First of all, I want you to see what I call the judgments of a weak faith. He speaks of it in verse 1. Now, except the one who is weak in faith. There are some that are strong in faith, there's the weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. This whole passage is filled with diets and days and diets. What you can eat, what you shouldn't eat. Do you eat pork or not eat pork? Do you eat shellfish or not eat shellfish? Do you drink wine or not drink wine? There are all of these judgments about diets and then about days. Which day do you go to church? You go on Saturday? You go on Sunday? Which festival do you keep out of the Old Testament? Passover, how many days you do that? And all of these things, we lay that up. But if you're not careful, people that are weak in faith will always be underlining the external rather than the internal, always underlining the flesh rather than the spirit, always running toward a preference rather than a biblical truth. Now, I have preferences, and you do too, but I dare not be judgmental about a preference. And even about a biblical truth, I dare not be judgmental and critical of attitude. I never read this text what I don't think of 100 years ago, the story from the Dutch reformers over in Holland. The Dutch Reformed Church had heard the rumor that in America, the women were coming to church with makeup on. They said, it can't be. They said, we've heard it rumored that it is so. And the reformers, the Dutch Reformed Church, sent a contingent to America to see for themselves. And they visited various churches and they went back to report to their Dutch Reformed Church, we're sorry to say, it is true. We cannot believe that what we saw, all of the women. And when they told them it was true, the men began to wail and say, Lord God, no, and began to weep and weep and weep. And tears ran down their face and put out the cigars that were in their mouths. Oh, the preferences and opinions that can rise up in church and become critical of spirit. Friend, we dare not have this critical spirit. You must, this text says, accept the weaker one. It says don't pass judgment even in disagreement. And watch yourself above all, that you would not have a critical spirit toward any brother or sister. Disagree, we all have. But to continually try to crush and push down and eliminate and say to that brother, that sister, I'm better than you. God help us. Because when you move into that critical spirit, you really are not the one with the strong faith. You're the one with the weak faith. Strength rises above having a judgmental spirit. Judge not, lest you be judged. For the way that you are judged, you will be judged. The judgments of the weak faith. But secondly, in this text, I find the judgments of a maturing faith. A maturing faith. We look over in the text in verses 16, 17. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, it is not eating and drink. The kingdom's not what we eat and what we drink. That's not the kingdom. But the kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Peace, great joy in the Spirit of the living God. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Now, friend, there are things that are right or wrong. There's no doubt Scripture blatantly says drunkenness is a sin before God. So when I was a boy growing up, if anybody was drunk, they got kicked out of the church. Nobody ever dealt with them. But oh, you ought to come over here on Tuesday and Friday night, and folks that are dealing with those kind of issues, we're not trying to judge them. We're trying to help them. There's a standard, yes. Sex abuse, it's big in our convention right now. People are rising up against it. You have to deal with that. My God, you're... perversion. I'll never forget the gentleman that came. He's dead and gone now, but he came and he asked me. He said, I just got out of jail. I've been there for 10 years for child abuse. He said, I just want to come back to church. That's all I want to do. Can I come? I said, you can, but if you walk down that hallway, I'll have you arrested. That's what I told him. I said, you can come to church, but you can't be around kids. The day he left this church, he came to my office, washed my feet. I'll never forget it. I sat in my office. He came in with a bucket of water, rolled down my socks, took off my shoes. He washed my feet, put his head up on my shoulder, and he wept like a baby. He said, Pastor, thank you for just letting me come. And friend, we had a standard. It's wrong. Sin against God. He went to jail for it. He should have. But the church is not the one to crush you. The church is the one, if you come in repentance, to lift you up. Amen. Can I get a witness? You've got to make judgments about it. It's not easy to find that. Because there's charlatans that will come in. You got to deal with them. And when they act that way, we drop, kick them through the goalpost of life right out into Davis Highway. But friend, if they come in repentance and true repentance and life change, we want to help them. Isn't that what we're about? Yes. What is the kingdom? Eating and drinking? No. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's being right with God, righteous. Your righteousness is found in Christ and Christ alone. It's the only place you find righteousness is in Jesus. And then after you find the righteousness of making you right with God, you walk right in the world. That's the kingdom, righteousness and peace. It's peace with God, peace with your heart, and peace with your fellow believer. You got to have peace with God. You got to have peace within your soul. Sin comes, you don't deal with it, it'll just grind and eat you up. Have a peace that passes all worldly understanding. Then have peace with your fellow brother or sister. You do wrong, yes, for forgiveness. So, well, they don't give it. That's okay. You leave that to God. but you don't harbor. It'll kill you. What's the kingdom? Eating, drinking? No. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 18. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God, approved by men. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up, there it is, of one another, and do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. Look in verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. These are faith issues. When God speaks and says it's sin, you got to step out and stand on that. And when you do, you walk not by sight, not by taste. You walk by faith. And if you don't walk by faith, you'll walk by sin. Oh, joy. I was glad to see everybody stand up and shout hallelujah a while ago. Amen. That helps Baptists. Just a little shouting that goes a long way. Amen. Just a glory sometimes. Let me tell you, if you shout hallelujah, you get out quicker. I'll preach faster. Amen. I knew this was coming. Let's see, when you drag around, it takes more time. So, joy. Amen. I got that joy, 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 joy. Where? Where? I got the. No, 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 no. Peace it passeth understanding. Where? Down in my heart, too. Yeah, Lord God, give us a little joy in here. All of the college kids don't know that song, so we taught it to them. What's the kingdom? Eating and drinking, days and diets? No, no, no. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are judgments of a mature faith as God grows you up. But thirdly, in this text, we find the judgments of a sovereign God. A sovereign God. When you look in this passage, down in verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will, say that word, all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We will all stand. Every PhD stands at the judgment. Everybody with a grade school education stands at the judgment. Everybody with multi-millions in the bank stands at the judgment. The pauper stands at the judgment. The man that knows his Bible stands at the judgment. The man that has never read a Bible stands at the judgment. We all gonna stand at the judgment seat. Now, there are two judgments in Scripture. The first one is the great white throne. You read about it in Revelation 20, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, this great white throne. The books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. A friend, you hear this, pastor, and you hear me clearly. Hell is a real place, and if you die without knowing Jesus, hell is your home for eternity. Hell is not a popular topic these days, but hell's real. Hell's hot, hell's eternal. And if you die without Christ, you will stand at the great white throne, and he will say, depart from me. Not that you knew him. No, no, he says, I never knew you. And if he does not know you, hell is your home for eternity. Don't dare die and go to hell. Come running to Christ. There's a great white throne. It's the judgment of the unbelieving dead. But then there's the Bema seat. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says it this way. For we must all appear before the Bema, that's the word, the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one will be recompensed according to his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. If you're a Christian, you're going to stand there. You'll give an account for what you've done, if you've done good or if you've done bad. We will be judged from Romans 2. Four things will judge us at the Bema seat. We'll be judged according to truth. There'll be no falsehood there, no lies. There'll be no AI taking your place. It'll be the truth. You'll be judged, secondly, according to your deeds, the evidence of your rights, what you've done, what you hadn't done. You'll give an account for every idle word, but you'll also give an account for words you did not speak you should have spoken. I was in a meeting last week. There was a preacher there. I knew something that he needed to know, and it was not an easy thing to deliver. And I just said, Lord, I'm telling you, I could not get out of that meeting till I went to him. He had preached that night, and I just went and put my arms around his neck, and I whispered in his ear three things that I needed him to know. He already knew them, but he needed to hear his elder brother say to him these things. I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to deal with that, but I'm telling you, I'd have gone to the judge. That'd be probably the only time I'd ever have opportunity to share it with him. So how did he receive it? It doesn't give a rip how he received it. It's that I obeyed God. That's up to the Lord. I unloaded that. Now God can deal with it. And he's a whole lot better at dealing with it than I am. You'll give an account for every idle word. You'll give an account for every word you should have spoken that you didn't speak. You'll be judged according to truth, be judged according to your deeds. Thirdly, be judged according to impartiality. Yeah. God plays no favorites. He's the respecter of no man. We will all stand level ground. And number four, he'll judge us according to the gospel. Chapter 2 and verse 16 of Romans says, on that day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets, the secrets of men through Christ. See, you got hidden sin you think nobody knows. God knows. God knows. There'll be no secrets on that day. He'll deal with that. People ask me, I say, well, Pastor, how will that work? I don't know. So I tell you all the time, I'm not in management, I'm in sales. That's up to the Spirit of the living God. But this book tells us we're headed to judgment. If you're here lost, you're headed to the great white throne. If you're here and saved, you're going to head to the Bema seat. First to be last, last to be first. I don't know how all that's going to work. To whom much is given, much is required. Can you imagine how God is going to judge the American church with everything we've got? I mean, Brother Jack talked about the scriptures. I mean, I got a stack of Bibles this long at my house. And there are people around the world today that would love to have one copy. Don't lose my salvation because I don't send a Gideon Bible, but I lose a reward. My standing. I don't know how that's going to work. I remember Eddie Ashari when he died. Eddie, who started our drug and alcohol program here. I remember we laid him down. He's in a box right here. They lined up around this building, all those ex-addicts that came through. I remember I stood right over here. I'll never forget it. I'm standing right here just watching these people come by and thank him, cry, laugh. Because he shared Jesus. I mean, they've been. If I ever heard the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God said, when you get to heaven, you'll have to carry his shoes. I said, Lord, I got a doctorate. He said, you can burn that up on the fire when we go in the door. He said, the last be first, the first will be last. It's serious. Judgment's serious. Thank God we don't get in by works, because if it were by works, ain't none of us going. We get in by grace, but reward comes by effort and work. I'll never forget 5 years ago, last week, 28 February, I was preaching at the First Baptist Church of Yazoo City, Mississippi. Jerry Clower's home church. Woo! I just want to say, shoot up amongst us here. I walked the streets of Yazoo City and preached, and then the next day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Kathy Gant Griffith called me. She's one grade behind me in high school. She ran the ambulance service in Pisgah. Said, your daddy's died. Said, we found him in the backyard. I said, well, how'd it happen? Said, well, he's on his John Deere tractor, his lawnmower. And he's evidently just had a heart attack. Before he hit the ground, he's dead. Now get this. I mean, I'm crying. When daddy fell off, he didn't get to the ground before he went up. Amen. Amen. And my daddy's going to stand in the judgment. I got some questions I want to ask if they give me a turn. And then I think, oh, Lord, I really don't, because he might get a turn. Oh, if daddy gets a turn, I don't want to see that pencil. No, the great judge of the universe, he knows all. And I'll give an account whether it's good or whether it's evil. My daddy will give an account. My mother's going to give an account. Lord, yeah, there's some things she needs to be spoken up for. I got a whooping one time I didn't deserve. I'm telling you, she's going to stand up just. I might have missed one or two I should have had. But anyway, that's a story of another day. I'm just telling you, you'll stand there. Your daddy, your grandmother, your best friend, all of us are going to stand today. Are you ready? Are you living faithful? Because judgment's coming. Oh, we're going to get to go to glory. Hallelujah. After that millennial reign, in we go. I don't know all that, how that works out. I'm in by grace. But dear friend, if you stand at the great white throne, he'll say, depart from me. Never knew you. There's judgment coming. Judgment's coming. The Lord is the judge, the sovereign God. And there was a day when he stepped down from the bench and came to be our attorney. And he looked to heaven and said, I died for him. He's mine. He's in. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. The one who judges came to give his life for us. It's called good news, friends. It's the gospel. I don't know much about court. My son's up in the balcony. He knows about court. I've only been on a jury one time. I've been called here several times. Nobody wants me on a jury. They see my name, they kick me out. But I served on one in Texas one time. It was Friday afternoon. A man was driving over 100 miles an hour down 287, and they pulled him over. He said, I will not pay this fine. I want a jury trial. I'm entitled in Texas to a jury trial. Friday afternoon, they took him to Judge Douthit's court. Douthit sent the bailiff to walk down through that little town of Henrietta. I just happened to be walking by. He said, you come with me. He gathered up six of us. He said, y'all are the court. I said, I ain't got time. It's Friday afternoon. I'm doing this. He said, you'll do it or the judge will deal with you. We went in there, and that man stood and was his own attorney and made his own appeal, and the six of us that were robbed of our Friday afternoon in Henrietta, Texas, had to pass judgment. We fined him as deep as we could find him. We multiplied it for everything we could think about. Said he had one tire that looked like he was a little low, another $100. We gave him the whole load plus everything we could. We threw the book at him. Ruin our after. Do you want to thank God and you get to heaven? I'm not the judge when we get there. Amen. But there is one that is righteous, and he is sovereign judge. Yes, sir. And he will do that that is right in every case. Today you need forgiveness, come running. You need salvation, come. But whatever you do, don't go out of here. Hear me. Don't go out of here with a critical spirit of judging others around you. That's what this 14th chapter is about. Judge not, lest you be judged. Oh, make a stand. Yes, but there is a difference in standing for truth and having a judgmental spirit. Lift high and love low. Everybody, oh, bring them unto Jesus.